Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've titled the message tonight, and this will be part one of a message that I've titled The Blessings of Justification. And before we look at this one verse tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings upon the message. Our blessed Heavenly Father, as we come into Your presence, Father, I just ask that You would help me as I stand to proclaim Your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will speak through me and help me to say that which is true, to say that which is fitting, to speak the truth in a spirit of love. And I pray, Father, that as we leave this earthly sanctuary tonight, every one of us here can say that we are at peace with God. I pray, Father, if there's one here who is not at peace, I pray that You will speak to their heart tonight. Open their eyes, show them their condition as they stand before You. Show them that they're not at peace with You, they're at enmity with You. And through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His blood, they can be at peace with You. So bless us, I do pray, and we ask all this in Christ's own precious name. Amen. Well, as we begin a new chapter tonight, chapter 5, we also are going to begin a new section in Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, you'll notice that chapter 5 begins with the word therefore, meaning that it's looking back to what has been said before that. In fact, the word therefore is a word that's found throughout the letter to the Romans. In fact, if you would, just go back a couple chapters. Go back to chapter 3 and notice what Paul says in verse 20. Because he says, therefore, meaning based on what he has just said, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so what Paul has argued in the previous verses is that we are all under sin. We are all condemned in God's sight. We are guilty before Him. We are under His wrath. And then he begins to show how we are justified, how God has worked to justify us. That's why when you get to chapter 5, he says, therefore being justified by faith. You see, we are condemned. We're guilty. We're under God's wrath. But God did something to remove His wrath. He did something to justify us. We didn't do anything. We could not do any works of the law. We could not go through any religious ritual. No, God justifies us as He tells us from chapter 3, verse 20, all the way to chapter 5. He justifies us by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 4, you'll notice, ends with a reference to our justification. He was raised for our justification. Chapter 5 begins, therefore being justified by faith. Now, what Paul, I believe, is doing, beginning in chapter 5, in these first 11 verses, is he is going to show us what are the blessings that you and I receive because of our justification. Because we're justified in God's sight, there are certain blessings that we enjoy. And the emphasis is we enjoy those blessings right now. We don't have to wait till some future time. No, these are blessings that we enjoy right now at the present time. Now, before we begin to look at those blessings, I want to take just a couple minutes and I want to see where Paul is going in this next section in this letter. Now, most people, the typical approach to the book of Romans is to divide it into four parts. Chapters 1 through 4 deal with justification. Chapters 5 through 8 deal with sanctification. Chapters 9 through 11 deal with the problem of the Jews, and chapters 12 through 16 deal with practical implications. Now, when I began this series in Romans, the very first sermon that I preached, I said one way you can divide Romans is chapters 1 through 8 are doctrinal, chapters 9 through 11 are national, and chapters 12 through 16 are practical. And I think this is a good overview, but there's only one thing that I would change, and that is the second section, chapters 5 through 8, that we're going to begin to deal with tonight, I don't believe deal with the subject of sanctification. I believe they deal with something else. Now, sanctification is mentioned in these chapters, okay? But I believe that what Paul is emphasizing here is an important doctrine: the eternal security of the believer, an assurance of salvation. So as we look at these chapters, I want you in the back of your mind to keep that Paul is showing us here that we are secure in Christ, that we have an assurance of salvation if we are justified. Now, to show you why I hold that view, I want you to notice again, look at the first two verses of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now you notice he talks about the hope of the glory of God. Verse 1, he talks about justification. Verse 2, he talks about our glorification. Now notice, he goes from us being justified to us being glorified. That's how this section begins. Now, turn over just a couple chapters. Look over chapter 8 and verse 39, the last verse of this section. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul ends this section showing us that because of the love of God in Christ Jesus, nothing will separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying there? We are eternally secure in Christ. Another reason why I hold that view is back in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he goes again from justification to glorification. There is no mention in those first two verses of being sanctified. Look over in chapter 8 let's look at verses 29 and 30, because you really need to read both of them together. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And those he justified, them he also glorified. He says nothing about sanctification. He begins this section, justification to glorification. He ends this section, justification to glorification. So Paul, in this section, is showing that if we are truly justified, then we will one day be glorified. There is absolutely no doubt about that. No one whom is justified will then become unjustified. Once God declares you just, you are just for the remainder of eternity. And nothing will change that fact. So as we go through these chapters, just keep that in mind, that if we're justified, we are going to be glorified. No doubt about that. My standing with God, my being justified, does not depend upon me or anything that I do. It depends upon Christ and what He has done. I don't have to hold out or hold on because Christ is going to hold on to me. So we're secure in Christ. Getting back then to chapter 5 and verse 1 for tonight. Now you'll notice it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now we're going to pick this verse apart because we're only in this one verse tonight. And we're going to look at each word because each word is very important. Being justified by faith. That's how the King James, how it says it. I don't like that translation. I like the ESV translation. The ESV says, therefore, since we have been justified. Other translations say, having been justified by faith. You say, why are you making such a distinction here? Why are you making such a big deal over one word? Because when the King James says being justified by faith, it's a present pursuit. We are presently being justified. Well, friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. We're not presently being justified. Justification is not a process. Justification is a one-time act. The moment you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are justified. And you will never be any more justified than you were at the moment that you were saved. I've been justified now for almost 40 years. And I'm no more justified today than I was the day that I was saved. And 10 million years from now, I'll be no more justified than I am at the present time. So Paul is writing to those who have been justified. And because of that, then he says there are certain blessings that go along with that. What are those blessings? What are those blessings that we enjoy right now? Well, tonight we're going to begin to look at those. And I chose only to look at one tonight. And that's found in verse 1. And that is, therefore, having been justified by faith, what is the first blessing? We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Again, I call your attention to the words, we have. You know what that means? You have it right now. You don't have to wait. Right now, if you're justified, you have peace with God. Lloyd-Jones, in his excellent commentary on Romans, says the primary business of the Christian gospel is not to give us blessings. The primary function is to reconcile us to God, to bring us to God. Now, I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that statement that we are in need of being reconciled to God. That's what the gospel primarily does. It reconciles us to God. But I would also say, isn't that also a blessing that we enjoy? There's not a greater blessing in this world than to know that you are at peace with God. Now, I want you to notice that Paul here says, having been justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God. Now, he doesn't just say that we have peace. He says we have peace with God. Let me ask you tonight a question. What is it that people in the world are mostly seeking for? What is it that most people seek in this world? Money? There are a lot of people, that's their pursuit. They want to have all the money that they can have. Is it power? A lot of people are seeking power. Is it fame? Success? How about happiness? A lot of people, that's what they want more than anything in this world, is just to be happy. Well, let me ask you another question. What is it that people most need in this world? Not what they're seeking for. What is it that most people need more than anything else? Well, I can tell you, it's not money, it's not power, it's not fame or success, not happiness. You know what people need more than anything else in this world? Peace with God. They need to be at peace with God. Augustine said, speaking of God, you made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you. God has so wired us, He has so made us, that inside of every human being, there is this need to be in a right relationship with our Creator. I want you to next notice that he says that we have peace with God. He doesn't say we have the peace of God. He says we have peace with God. Now, I want you, if you would, just hold your place here, and I want you to look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Because there is a difference between the peace of God and being at peace with God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what Paul is doing in these verses, he is showing that certain things can come into your life that can cause you to be uncertain, to cause you to be troubled, to cause you to be upset. What are some of those things? Well, things that we face every day in our lives. You lose a job. You don't have a paycheck coming in. Do I ask you, is that a reason for you to be concerned, to be upset? Surely it is. What about a breakup in a relationship, maybe in a marriage? Is that something that calls you to be upset, to be concerned? Absolutely. What about the illness or even the death of a loved one? Does that cause you to be upset? Does that bring difficulty into your life? Most certainly that it does. See, at times when these kind of things come into our life, what we need more than anything else is the peace of God. We need to know that we can trust God and that He will give us the strength that we need to go through those difficult times. We need the peace of God. But friends, that's not what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. He's not talking about the peace of God. He's talking about peace with God. He's not talking about how we face the trials and troubles of life. He's talking about how we face God Himself. And that means we have to be at peace with God. You see, the problem is, it's very simple. We are born into this world at war with God. And we remain at war with Him unless God does something to change our condition. And the peace that we're talking about here, this peace with God, is peace that God Himself has provided to us. John MacArthur says, "It is not a feeling, but a fact. Apart from salvation through Jesus Christ, every human being is at enmity with God, spiritually at war with Him, regardless of what they feel, how they feel about God. In the same way, the person who is justified by faith is at peace with God, regardless of how they may feel about it at any given moment. Through their trust in Jesus Christ, a sinner's war with God has finished for all eternity." Amen. If you won't say it, I'll say it. Amen. Now, of course, unsaved people, if you ask unsaved people about being at war with God, they'll deny it. They'll say, "Well, I'm not conscious of any hatred that I have toward God. I'm not aware of any opposition that I am showing against God. I'm not actively opposed to God." They would say, at worst, "I'm neutral when it comes to God." A lot of people, that's how they feel. Well, what's the Bible say about that? Well, if you look over in chapter 8 and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The carnal mind is the unsaved mind. The unsaved person is at enmity with God. Right there it says. Jesus one time said, "If you're not with me, you're not for me, you're against me." In John chapter 8, Jesus will talk about those who are the children of Abraham and those who are the children of the evil one. Meaning there's two families in the world today. The family of Satan and the family of Christ. Everybody's a part of one of two kingdoms, Christ's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. That's everybody here tonight. You're either a part of Christ's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. You're part of Christ's family or Satan's family. You're not neutral. There's no in between. It's one or the other. You see, up until June of 1979, I was a part of Satan's family, a part of his kingdom. I was at war with God. But then in June of 1979, the Lord saved me. He justified me. And from that moment on, guess what? I'm a part of His family. I'm a citizen of Christ's kingdom. And I am no longer at war with God. You know what? I'm at peace with God. And tonight, if you are saved, you have the same testimony. There was a point in your life when all of a sudden you went from being an enemy of God to being at peace with God. How is it with you tonight? How is it? Everybody here, how is it with you? Are you at peace with God? Are you still at war with Him? You see, Paul in the first four chapters of this letter has shown us that we're enemies of God, that we are in rebellion against Him and rebellion against His law. And if we're justified, if you're justified tonight, it's because of what God has done. It's not what you've done. It wasn't a case where man and God decided to get together and to do something about the conflict between them. No, it was all God's doing. God took the initiative. God is the one, in His great love, who sent His Son into this world to die on the cross for His people. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls those that the Father gave the Son to come unto Him. You see, friends, it's all God's initiative. It's all God's doing. And all honor, glory, and praise goes to God. Now, today, there is many peace treaties that are being signed or have been signed throughout history. Most have failed. If they haven't failed, they probably will fail. I will tell you, there's really only one peace treaty that's ever been signed that has been successful. It was signed 2,000 years ago at Calvary, and it was signed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When we today think of peace, we don't think of it the way the Bible talks about peace. If you look in the dictionary, here's what the dictionary will say about peace. It's freedom from or ceasing of war or hostilities. That condition of a nation or community in which it is not at war with another. Here's what someone else has said. Peace is merely that brief, glorious moment in history when everybody stops to reload. That's pretty clever, and that's true. Because what we often think is peace, you know what it is? It's not peace. It's simply a truce. See, when the Bible talks about peace, when it talks about being at peace with God, it means more than the fact that we're no longer fighting with each other. Peace is more than that. Peace is the restoration of a broken relationship. That's what true peace is. And that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about being at peace with God. Again, if you're justified tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, not only, and here's the good news, not only are you no longer at war with God, but you also are now in a right relationship with Him. You've been reconciled to Him. You know what He's done for you? You know what He's done? He has adopted you into His own family. He's made you His own dear child. Not only are we no longer fighting, but He says, come into my family. You're now my child. And we can only imagine all the blessings He has in store for those of us who are His children. My friends, that's what it means to be at peace with God. Not sometime in the future, right now. At 6:05 in December of 2017, you are at peace with God if you are justified by faith. Now, as we close, remember, not only did God take the initiative in our being justified, but He also is the one who sets the terms of peace. And that's very important, because if we're going to be at peace with God, we come on His terms, not ours. See, no, so many people today are trying to be at peace with God by what they do. They're not able to set the terms of peace. God has done that. And you know what God says? He says, if you're going to be at peace with me, you have to come through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Him. In fact, you'll notice in verse 1, He says, we have peace with God, but He doesn't stop there. He could have said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, period. End of sentence. And we would understand what He's talking about because He's already talked about how we're justified before this. But notice the Apostle Paul, he cannot keep from saying the name of Jesus Christ. So he says, it's through our Lord Jesus Christ, as if we didn't already know that. But he just wants to make sure there's no doubt. If you're going to be justified, you're going to be at peace with God, it's because of your relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to end with this story, and I've told this story before, but I think it's so fitting. In his book, Peace Child, Don Richardson writes about doing missionary work among certain cannibal tribes in Indonesia. These tribes, they fought all the time. They killed one another. When he tried to explain the gospel to them, they couldn't understand what he was talking about. Because these people, they honored revenge and murder and all of these things and fighting. And so it looked like a hopeless situation. There was no way these people were going to be at peace. Until one day, he discovered a custom that these tribes had with each other. And the custom was, if one tribe gives a male child to another tribe, those tribes will be at peace with one another as long as that child lives. As long as that child lives, those tribes would be at peace with one another. They called that child the Peace Child. And Richardson said, there it is. There's how I can explain the gospel. Then he began to show them that Jesus Christ is God's divine peace child. Remember, as long as the male child lives, there will be peace. Well, Jesus Christ was put to death, but 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And he is alive today. You know how long he's going to live? Anybody want to make a guess? How long is Christ going to live?
Forever.
So that means that when God makes peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that peace is established forever. So that's how we can be at peace with God. So tonight I ask you, are you at peace with God? If you are, that's the greatest blessing in life. That's why I believe Paul starts with being at peace with God. I can't think of a greater blessing than to be at peace with God. But if you're not at peace with God, then I would say to you, your only hope is to look to the Peace Child. Look to Jesus Christ and put your faith and your trust in Him.